May we pray together. Our Father, we thank Thee for the beauty of this day and for the privilege that is ours to come into this place in fellowship one with another and Thee. We thank Thee for each other and for the reasons that make us a community together, for the responsiveness of mind, for the sensitivity of heart, for the determination of will that altogether have responded to Thy call. We thank Thee for one another, for the contributions that we make one to another as student to teacher and teacher to student and community within community. We pray, our Father, that in this fellowship of learning, that together with the knowledge that we garner unto ourselves, that we might also gain wisdom, that our perspective might be that of the whole world, and that our values might be those of the man from Nazareth. We thank Thee for this particular opportunity of worship, for prayer and song, for the sharing together of the Word of God, and for the knowledge that we are bound together by loyalties that extend beyond the spoken word, that extend even to the Word of God Himself. We pray not only for ourselves, but our Father, we are vividly aware of others beyond the context of our own community who have needs, who face critical problems and decisions. For them we pray this day, and for them we would seek to bear even in our own hearts and within our own spirits a measure of helpfulness, of goodwill and unfailing love that would be pleasing unto Thee. Particularly do we pray for our country. We ask that those who are our leaders might have uncommon wisdom. We pray for those not only in the executive and legislative and judicial branches of our government, but we pray for those who have critical military responsibility this day. We ask Thy blessings upon those who serve in lonely places, whose lives are in jeopardy, whose futures face disaster in many instances. We pray for ourselves and our friends, but we also pray for those whom, unfortunately, we call our enemies. We ask that peace might be restored to our world, that the time might come when the peace that passeth understanding might be more than a mere shibboleth or a word that we utter at Christmas, and might become living reality in the experience of men. Bless, we pray, our coming together this hour. Let our worship be acceptable in Thy sight, and may the preparation that we make enable us to be better servants of Thine. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're delighted this morning to have as our speaker one of our own, yet one of our own who fills a very special place of responsibility in the larger community of Wake Forest. Mr. Roy Nelson Tucker is a student in our seminary, but he is also the pastor of the Community Baptist Church of Wake Forest. He has attended West Point Military Academy. He is a graduate of Mercer University, and he has had experience in a wide area of Christian endeavor. We're glad this morning that he comes as a local pastor and as one of ourselves to lead us in the worship of God.
Thank you, Dr. Cook, for that introduction. If I might borrow a story from Dr. B. A. Lancaster, he said that there are three things in the world hardest to do: is to walk a fence, when it's leaning toward you, to kiss a girl when she's leaning away from you, and to live up to the introduction of a speaker before you to speak. And the first one I have tried, the last one I always try to do, and the middle one is none of your business. I now invite your attention to the reading of God's Word in Proverbs 6:6-9. Go to the ant, O sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief officer or ruler, she prepares her food in summer and gathers her substance in harvest. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? Let me say at the outset that I am honored to be in the chapel service to represent Community Baptist Church in this community on our campus. Any of you who are not attending church in a community or who have supply work and does not have a regular church in which you attend, you are invited out to services at Community Baptist Church at any time which you have an opportunity to come. We as Christians have a twofold benefit of a twofold revelation of God, the Bible and nature itself. Now there are three ways in which people can accept these two things. First, some people accept neither. They neither accept the Word of God as being gospel truth, nor do they accept the ways of nature as being planned by God and showing God's work in this world. These people might be termed as the materialist. There are others who accept one way but do not accept the other. They might accept the scripture as being the word of God, but they say that nature itself does not show us the way of God, and they don't accept nature or science as having any part. Then there are those who accept nature and accept science but who do not accept the Bible. And thirdly, we may accept both. I prefer the third way because I believe that the scripture is intended to point us to nature, first to prove its first truths, then to illustrate those truths, to reprove sin that it denounces, and to reprove our indolence, which is the subject of this morning's message. The ant teaches, first, that no matter how feeble our power, there is no excuse for indolence. In Proverbs 13:4, we find these words, "The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, while the soul of the diligent is richly supplied." Too many times, people will say, "Well, I cannot do this thing because I am not a great enough person. I do not have the ability to do big things. Therefore, I will do nothing." The words of the scripture reproves us for such indolence. The ant, though small it may be in the scope of the broad area and the broad expanse of this world and this universe, though it's small compared to the animals that are on this earth, it is not indolent, but it works diligently. So the ant will teach us then to be diligent. The ant also teaches us that our power, great and small, is given for work. Whether our power is great or whether it is small is to be used in work. Work was given to us as a benefit is the grace of God to keep us busy, to have something to do. No one, while they are busy, has time to get into mischief. Neither those people that we read about in the newspapers and the magazines and hear about over radio and television who are committing suicide across our country every year. Most of the time, if you will look into their lives, you will see it's because they have nothing to do. They have time on their hands. They are indolent. Thirdly, this ant teaches us, preaches to us, that we are not required to work above our power. We have our limitations. God knows our limitations, and He doesn't expect us to go beyond our limitations and work for Him. We might look to the Scripture again for apparent failures of the greatest ambitions of some of the greatest men in the Scripture. For instance, Moses. Moses had the task of leading the people of Israel, the Hebrew people, out of the land of bondage, out of Egypt to the promised land. You remember, for 40 years they traveled. And then at the end of their journey, when the time when Moses should have been rejoicing, when the time he should sit back and enjoy the benefits of his labor, God took him to the mountain and showed him the promised land and said, Moses, you will not go into this promised land. Even though you've done all of these things and looked after these children, after their material benefits, their material needs, after their spiritual needs, after you have done these things, you will not be able to enter in. So apparently, Moses failed in his greatest ambition to enter into the promised land. But if we look closer, we'll see that God said, I've got a better place for you than this. A better place prepared. The great King David, sinful though he was, we read about, he was the greatest king of Israel, the greatest king of the combined kingdom, United Kingdom. His greatest ambition was to build a temple to God which would be magnificent above all else, above all other that had been created. David failed in this task. He laid the groundwork, but the task of building the temple and completing the temple fell to Solomon. David did all he could. He worked within his capacity. And what was beyond his capacity, what he could not do, he was not criticized for. He was not condemned for. In our own lives, we have tasks that we are to do. God gives us certain things to do and certain things that are not ours to do. And many times we become discouraged because we say, I wanted to do this, and this is a great ambition, and this ought to be done, and surely many things should be done in the Lord's work in this world. But it may not fall our lot to be able to complete that task. So we're not to get discouraged. We're to rest assured in the fact that God never lets anything come our way, but that he and we can handle together. Fourthly, the ant tells us that work increases power. I remember in college when the time in the afternoon would come after classes and I would have to practice on the track at West Point and at Mercer. I was in athletics. And at West Point especially, when I was on the track team, when I took classes, I would be tired from the academic pursuits and I'd have to go out in the afternoon and practice and run over distance. I ran a mile. I had to run 2 miles or 5 miles. I didn't like it at all. It was hard work, as it always is. But after I had ran the 5 miles, the 1 mile was much easier. Work increases power. If we do our best for God today, tomorrow, we'll be able to do a little bit more. We'll be a little bit better qualified than we were the day before. We're not to let disappointments stop us. The ambition of George Washington in his young days was to be a sailor in the King's Navy. He was disappointed. He never became a sailor in the King's Navy. But he went on to become the president of a new nation. James Whistler, the great artist of our nation, was at West Point at one time, and he had the ambition of graduating. But he got kicked out, literally thrown out because of an indiscretion on his part. Edgar Allan Poe, the great writer of our country, also was at West Point, and he flunked out academically. But these were disappointments to these men, but they didn't let the disappointments stop them from achieving greatness. They did not let the disappointments stop them from achieving a worthy goal in their lives. Fifthly, the ant teaches us that the activity of others cannot answer for you. You can see a whole colony of ants working, and not one will be idle. I don't know how many of you have had the opportunity or took the interest to watch a colony of ants. If you've ever been down by a riverside or in a field somewhere where there was a colony of ants working, you could see each one of them doing their work individually. Now, all of them had not the same task, because they have different tasks divided out, but each one of them has a task, and each one of them works. And even though you find all of them busy and each ant doing his part, you will not find one that's indolent. Here in seminary, on a campus in which there are many people trying to find education in which to be able to do a better job for the Lord, there are a lot of places around where we can go to preach on Sunday, and the places soon fill up many times before all the preachers around have an opportunity to fill a pulpit. And some are left without places to preach some Sundays, but this is no sign that we should not do any work. There are places that we can fill in the churches and in the Lord's work. One of my classmates and I were discussing the other day about the number of cars we found parked on the seminary campus in the housing section on Sunday morning, when apparently they had not moved all day. Apparently, the occupants of the house had not even gone to church on Sunday. Even though they are preparing for the ministry, even though they're trying to do the Lord's work, since they didn't have a place to go themselves that day, they went nowhere. Even though there are many people around us doing work for the Lord, there is much more to be done. And the activity of others cannot suffice for ourselves. Then lastly, the ant teaches us that the need for help is no excuse for laziness. Sometimes we do have to have help in our living. We have to have help in our studies. We have to have help, perhaps sometimes financially. We have to have help spiritually. But just because we need help, this is no sign that we can be lazy about this situation. The longest journey that's ever been made was started with one step. We don't have to know the whole way at the time. We may start out on a project. We may start out in our studies. We may start out in our witnessing to others and not know exactly what the outcome will be. But yet, the task remains ours. We might need help in completing our task, but we still need to start it. In college, I have had preachers or people interested in ministry that didn't have a church, young pre-ministerial students, tell me that they are going to wait until after they have been through with seminary, after they have their seminary degree, before they will go out and preach, and before they will go out and witness to someone about their soul. I have even had one person on this campus to tell me that they intend to wait until after they have the benefit of seminary before they will witness to someone about their soul because they felt inadequate to deal with this person. Brethren, we're all inadequate without the Word of God, without the faith in God to give us that which we do lack. And just because we need help in our work is no sign we can be lazy about the situation. At a graduation of a high school a few years back, the superintendent of the Negro High School, and the superintendent in his commencement address told a little story that I think befits all of us. He was telling the graduating class that what lies ahead is not a clear path sometimes, that they have to venture out on faith. They have some knowledge now from their high school education, but they do not know it all, and they will have to venture out on faith. And even though the road may seem dark at times, the answer will be provided. Then he told a story. He said, now the high school here is a long ways from town. It's a county high school. And he says, if I want to start from the high school to go to town, the road doesn't have to be lighted all the way. But I can take a flashlight in my hand and shine one step at a time, and I can make it all the way to town. So, the same applies to us. In conclusion then, like the ant, we have a future. Like the ant, we must prepare for it. And like the ant, our time is limited. Tells us in the scripture that the laborer is worthy his hire. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Almighty Father, hear our prayers and petitions now. As the words come from our mouths and from our hearts, we pray that thou wilt accept them, thou wilt weigh them, thou wilt look into us, into our hearts, and see if there be any wicked way in us. Father, forgive us for not trusting thee more. Forgive us for laziness. Help us to be the kind of steward that would be worthy to be in thy hire. We pray, our Father, for the essentials that we need to be good stewards for thee, for the intelligence, for patience, for understanding, for love, for faith, that we might go out among non-Christian peoples and bring the word of God to them. Help us, our Father, as we continue to grow in our Christian nurture. Help us as we grow in our educational aspirations. And Father, we pray that we might be reminded that whatever we might be doing, whatever goals we are seeking, we pray that we might be reminded that we are called into thy service first, and that we are to serve thee first, to seek first the kingdom of God, and these other things will be added unto us. For all of these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.